Chapter 13. In Custody. Thursday morning. Faltrick, Fink and Truman met for breakfast at 7 a.m. in the hotel coffee shop.
I'm tired of being in Memphis, Fink complained.
And I'm tired of waiting for the Sway Kid to talk, Faltrick said. We must get him into court. We'll explain to the judge that Mark's obstructing justice and the judge will question him.
Just then, Faltrig's mobile phone rang. After a short conversation, he told Fink and Truman,
Somebody burned the Sway's trailer. I'm sure Gronke did it, as a warning to Mark.
Maybe we should try to convince the judge to put Mark into protective custody, Truman said thoughtfully.
Yes, we should, said Fink.
That way Mark would be safe from Gronke.
And being in jail might frighten him enough to make him talk, Faltrig added.
Let's go and speak to the judge.
The men paid the bill and quickly left the coffee shop. Judge Harry Roosevelt wasn't happy when Faltrig, Fink and Truman appeared in his office, but he agreed to see them.
I must be in court soon, so be quick, he said.
I'm sure you've heard about Clifford's suicide and, Faltrig began.
Yes, an interesting case, Judge Roosevelt interrupted.
And the boy's lawyer is good. She's often in my court. But how does all this concern me?
Fink gave the judge a document and said, If you read this, you'll understand that Mark's obstructing justice. We want you to question him.
The judge read the document and asked,
Why do you think he knows where Senator Boyette's body is?
Truman explained the reasons, and Judge Roosevelt said,
But you can't say for certain that Mark knows.
No, Your Honour, Faltrig said, starting to feel impatient. But why else would he have lied to the police, hired a lawyer, and refused to answer questions?
I see your point, Judge Roosevelt said thoughtfully. Be in my court at noon. I'll tell Reggie to bring Mark.
Your Honour, there's one more thing, Fink said. We think Mark should be in protective custody.
Is that really necessary? Judge Roosevelt demanded.
One of Maldonado's men arrived in Memphis last night, and this morning the Sway's trailer was burned, Faltrig said.
That can't be a coincidence. That fire was meant to frighten Mark into keeping silent.
Judge Roosevelt said.
Mark doesn't deserve to be locked up, but for his own safety, I'll order it.
At 8:30 a.m, Reggie walked into Ricky's room and could tell that Diane had been crying.
The police came early this morning to tell us that our trailer was destroyed in a fire, Mark told Reggie sadly. We haven't got a home anymore.
Oh, no, cried Reggie. I'm so sorry for you. What caused the fire?
The inspectors aren't sure yet, said Diane.
Reggie and Mark looked at one another. They were both thinking that it was possible the man with the knife had started the fire. Reggie stayed for a short time to console Diane and Mark as much as she could. She also helped them complete the insurance papers and then left for work. Diane was singing quietly to Ricky, while Mark was looking at the newspaper, which had a front-page photo of him and Reggie. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door, and a cop entered.
I'm Sergeant Clickman, the cop said. I've got a judge's order to take Mark into protective custody.
He gave Diane the order, and she and Mark looked at one another, horrified.
You're not taking him anywhere, Diane said angrily.
I'm just doing my job, ma'am, said Clickman. Mark will be fine. I'm taking him to the juvenile detention centre, and he must appear in the juvenile court at noon.
No, cried Diane, standing up and hitting Clickman on the face. I won't let you take him.
Just then, Ricky woke up. He saw the cop and began to cry.
It's okay, Mum, said Mark. He wanted Ricky to stop crying. I'll go with him. Just call Reggie and tell her what's happened.
As the crime reporter entered the hospital to meet the nurse who had been giving him information about Mark, he saw Mark leaving with Sergeant Clickman.
I'm from the Memphis Press, the reporter said. What's happening? Where are you taking Mark?
Clickman ignored him, but Mark said angrily,
He's making me go to the juvenile detention centre. I have to go to court.
Mark thought that what was happening to him was so unfair that he wanted everyone to read his story in the newspaper. And when the reporter photographed him getting into the police car, Mark thought, I hope that'll be on the front page. Unseen by everyone, Gronke had seen and heard everything. He immediately went to a phone to call Maldano.